Welcome back to another episode of the Stevie Weeby Show. We have a very special guest tonight. Please welcome back for the second time, accountability activist William Good Part Two. How you doing, Blair? All right. Thanks for coming back. Ooh, it's been a while.
It's been a while.
A lot has happened.
A lot has happened.
And I have some questions written down. I mean, so firstly, are you still involved with the Scientology protests?
Yeah. So, we started a protest. I had my first interaction with them 2 years ago this month, April 2023. Took them on for about 7 months before it really went viral and exploded. It exploded.
I mean, you're the one that set it off.
It started it, but a lot of young people came out there and made it happen.
Oh, the streamers and everything?
Yeah. They went out there and they shut... They took the main recruiting center for Scientology, probably in the country, probably in the world, and shut it down for the last year. And now they're trying to reopen it now. They're trying to creep out to the streets, and I'm determined to send them back inside.
Well, I don't know if you know this, but Danny Masters is in prison.
He is in prison.
Wow. Do you believe that?
No, I don't believe that. You know, and I've had a fight against one of his friends.
Ashton Kutcher?
No. One of his enablers.
Really?
Yeah.
Can I guess who it is?
Okay.
The woman that owns that restaurant by the Upright Citizens Brigade.
Yeah. La Poubelle. Yeah. Francois Coster.
She enabled this type of behavior to go on for years, allegedly.
Well, here's what we know as facts. Her victims, and I've met Danny Masterson's victims. His victims, he drugged at least one of them in the restaurant before taking her and sexually assaulting her.
That's crazy.
But on top of it, then Francois, the owner of that restaurant, came to court with him every day, arm in arm, defended him, wrote a character statement on his behalf, gave the finger to one of the victims. So we had some protests and put her through some stuff. And
shame on you, lady.
Well, I mean, shame on her, but she tried to get a restraining order.
That's crazy.
She failed.
Now, do you think Ashton Kutcher's scared? Because there's, like, allegedly, there's supposed to be connections with P. Diddy, and then Ashton being in the middle, because he's, allegedly, used to go to those parties, and then Danny. So, what's going on with Ashton Kutcher, my man?
I mean, listen, Ashton Kutcher's, first off, he's a Scientologist, Scientology enabler, and an enabler of a couple of people around him. He associates with some people that probably not a good idea to associate with. So,
yeah. So are you still showing up to like these Scientology like centers and stuff?
Oh yeah. I was out there today. I mean, listen, when I show up, they run inside. So they'll have the doors open. I'll show up. They'll close the doors. The windows will shade. They have some sort of fancy windows.
Yeah, I know. I've seen that before.
Yeah. So they press the button.
I've been up there a few times just to check it out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Any shout outs you want to give, as far as the local, some local Scientology
protesters
and stuff.
Jessica Pomodessa. I mean, she's out there. Dan Walks LA. They've been out there a lot, putting some pressure on them.
And then what's their tactic? Do they just stream? Is it?
No, that, listen, right now they're having a hard time because every time they open up their doors, somebody is coming to their door. Just regular public. Kids out there are saying, oh, I saw this on TikTok. I saw this on Instagram. I saw this on YouTube Shorts. And I'm going to ask them, hey, you know, what's this Scientology about? And, you know, it's a cult. And they're getting a lot of pressure right now.
Yeah, man. I don't think that people are lining up to join that organization.
No, not at all.
What's weirder, Scientology or Mormonism?
Scientology to me is just...
Because of the alien thing?
Listen, here's why I say it's weirder, okay? The people that work over in a Scientology building, that's not far from here, walking distance, we can walk.
Let's not say the streets.
We're not going to say streets, but you know, we'll say about 10-minute walk, right?
Okay, that's fine.
You could say 10-minute walk. It's part of your neighborhood, right?
For sure.
And the people that work there, a lot of them are from other countries who came here on religious visas, had their visas snatched from them. So now they're working 110 hours a week. They're getting $0 in pay. They get a $47 a week allowance where they have to buy their own toiletries. That sounds like human trafficking, right?
But what's the attraction? Why are they doing that, dude?
Doesn't that sound like human trafficking?
A little bit. Well, it sounds like slavery.
Okay, and that's happening 10 minutes from our house.
That's crazy.
So that's the difference between Scientology and Mormonism. This is happening in our neighborhood.
You know what? You're right.
It's in our neighborhood. This is not happening in some other country somewhere.
It's happening in the neighborhood.
It's happening right here. You walk past and we walk past these people every day. They have a smile on their face, but again, they have no connection with their family, no connection with their friends. They don't have access to the internet. They have no idea what's going on in the outside world.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've had Aaron on here.
Yeah.
So shout out to Aaron.
Shout out to Aaron. He's fantastic.
And Jana Miscavige.
Yes.
They were both here.
They were fantastic. I'd say he's probably the most important person when it comes to like the anti-Scientology movement.
He does his damn thing.
Well, what I'm good at doing is getting some people who don't know anything about Scientology to say like, hey, what's that? Right?
Mm-hmm.
But then when they start doing their research, and they find him, they find his channel, and that's when they learn.
Growing Up in Scientology is the name of the channel.
Growing Up in Scientology, yeah.
And let's give yours a shout out real quick.
Yeah, shout out to Aaron. You guys got to watch his shows. If you want to learn about Scientology, and you want to learn about it in a way that's, entertaining and...
Informative. Mm-hmm.
Watch his stuff.
Absolutely, yeah. Now, you've gone on to different types of things, though, as far as... Were you arrested? Didn't you get arrested once, last September?
Oh, yeah. No, wait. When I got arrested.
It said by the Hollywood Division. I looked it up.
No, the last time I got arrested by the Hollywood Division was probably 2022 or 2021.
Oh, what about this? It says you were detained at a UCLA protest?
No, I was covering
Gaza protest.
Yeah, listen.
On campus.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So no, I was covering the I covered the protests when they had violence.
Mm-hmm.
I was right there in the middle of it, documenting the whole thing. I was live streaming.
Can you describe just the whole vibe?
The wildest night I've ever. For me, it was traumatic, and it's hard for me to say that about a lot of stuff. I've been through a lot of stuff in my life.
I can only imagine. Yeah.
It was traumatic. It was a huge attack. It was bloody. People were hurt. I went with people to file crime reports.
Now, did they really barricade the campus? People camped there and stuff?
They set up an encampment and they barricaded it.
That's insane.
Well, listen, here's how I see it, right? That's not my type of activism. I do things differently. I don't believe in encampments. But at the same time, nobody has any right to go and start smashing people over the head because of it.
Mm-hmm,
what are we doing here? What are we doing here?
It escalated to that, though, eventually.
No, it escalated to full-on violence. It escalated to shooting fireworks into the encampment. It escalated to people hitting people with planks of wood, smashing hands, broken bones, head split open.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Journalists being bear sprayed. Not pepper spray, bear spray.
With bear spray. But it progressed. It didn't start out that way, right, William?
This went on the course... Over the course of days. But you know what? I saw it about to happen. So I was actually, because I was covering as a journalist, and I was invited inside the encampment the night before that happened, and I saw it escalating, and I said, you know what? These little geeky kids back here, they're going to get run over. Surprisingly, they didn't.
Did they know who you were? like some of them?
Yeah, most people know.
Yeah. So you were accepted into the group, right?
Like, yeah.
They're like,
to see what was going on.
Right. You're good.
So I went back there, and I was like, listen, again, I do activism differently, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do I think encampments are effective? I don't think so. But at the same time, nobody has a right to go get their heads smashed in and beaten up.
Yeah, that's insane.
And, you know, journalists getting smashed up. And on top of it, you know, listen, the cops were just watching it happen. They knew it went on for hours and hours and hours.
Why is that? Isn't it their job?
The attack started to intervene? Well, you would think so. They said they weren't prepared. I know the guy who was running the show, Captain. He was the old Hollywood captain, Steve Lurie. Now he runs, like, I don't know, associate dean of public safety at UCLA.
It's just a new title. He's under.
Well, no, now he's over there. He works for UCLA.
Oh,
now.
He does.
He ran it for the LAPD that night where they didn't respond for hours.
So he got a promotion that way?
Listen, it's just.
He got a job opportunity? Listen,
the guy's an awful person. I've been dealing with him for years. I have stories about him
He knows who you are.
Yeah, of course he knows who I am. I gave him a headache.
Now, how do you. Just because I've always wondered this, just on my own. How do you find out about people's job titles and corrupt cops and
since 2020 I've been a cop watcher. Before I've ever done this Scientology stuff or holding politicians accountable, I was a cop watcher here in Hollywood holding these cops accountable. When I first started doing this, that guy Steve Lurie was the commander over here at the Hollywood station, and so I went up against these cops really hard and I put them through hell. You know what I did? On Hollywood Boulevard, they used to have what they call the HED unit,
mm-hmm.
Hollywood Entertainment Division Detail Unit.
What does that entail?
It's like there are people there. Listen, to me, here's what I'll say. The first year I documented these guys out there, those cops, I filmed 1,000 stops. 995 of them were black or Latino people. All of them were handcuffed and all of them had their car searched. No matter what, not using a turn signal, not having a seatbelt, whatever it is. Car search, which is illegal. And so
Don't they need a warrant for that?
Well, they need to have probable cause.
Sorry.
They did not have probable cause. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I took them on. I filed complaints. I ran over them. They had 71 cops out there. A year and a half later, they're reduced to 23 cops. Right. You know what happened? Crime went down in the same. Less cops, 2/3 less cops, but yet crime went down. So it just shows you that whole narrative that you need more cops to create safety. It's a lie. Crime is down right now in the city right now. We were at a 40-year-long crime. I go to the LAPD commission meetings every week.
I was on your Instagram.
I was there yesterday, and you know what the chief said? Crime is down year over year. He says this every single week. It's going down. Crime is down. Regardless of what you see on Citizen app, crime is way...
What's that?
It's an app where you get alerts about what supposed crime in a neighborhood is, but usually...
Is it bogus?
Yeah, a lot of times, yes.
Okay, I was just wondering.
But crime is down, and we're doing it with what? Less cops than we had a year ago, less cops than we had 5 years ago. We have less cops. Now, they get a larger percentage of our budget. They get half of our discretionary budget. Half of our budget goes to them. Last year, we gave them a $126 million increase. You know what we did? We cut sanitation by $20 million.
What about the homelessness?
We cut street services by $20 million. Now you and I live in the same neighborhood.
It's dirty around here, dog.
That's what I'm saying. We live in the same neighborhood. We live in the same neighborhood. You know, you could walk down there around and you will find garbage everywhere. You know, you also see the curbs. You ever see how the curbs?
Oh, dude.
Not far from here.
I don't want to say what street, dude, but I think because I've seen you around that. Around that street that I'm thinking of.
Yeah, listen.
And it was filthy, man.
Oh, listen.
Burger King.
Everywhere.
Trash. Diapers. Bottles. Just trash.
Well, we cut the budget. We cut that budget. Karen Bass cut that budget. Cut street service budget. We have La Brea and Sunset, we have a palm tree growing out of the side, out of the curb. How does that happen? You know how long it takes for a palm tree? It's growing out of the side of the curb.
That's insane.
A La Brea and Sunset. This is not some like little side street somewhere. That's because we have that much neglect of the streets.
So are you saying the money that should be going towards fixing the city is right. actually going into the pockets of these cats?
Going into the pockets of police. Even though there's less police, they get more and more of our money. Because you know what? When we increase the police budget, we are giving raises to the existing cops. Right now, the average cop probably makes about $140,000 after overtime. Average cop. 84% of them live.
Say that again.
$140,000 after overtime, the average LAPD officer.
That's not bad.
And on top of it, 84% of them, they do not live in the city of LA. So that money leaves LA.
Well, there's some in Riverside?
listen, Riverside, yeah. San Bernardino, Orange County, but it gets worse than that.
San Diego.
No, listen, we have like 40 of them that live out of state, that live in Idaho, that live in New Jersey, that live in yes, they what happens is you can set up your weeks where you work 3 days on, 4 days off, and you reverse that every week. So you essentially work 6 days straight, then you have 8 days off, and they just fly to Boise, Idaho. They live there.
So you're saying there's people on the payroll.
They are taking our tax dollars and it's fleeing our city.
So there are cops that live out of state.
There's 40 cops that live
like
out of state.
Like in Idaho.
Idaho.
Still on the payroll.
New Jersey.
And they're getting raises.
Tennessee.
That's insane, dude.
Yes.
How'd you figure that out?
Because they actually, the LAPD actually released that information. If you Google it, the LA Taco.
Dude, spread the knowledge. Dude.
Yeah, LA Taco. Just Google, you know, LA Taco, LAPD living out of state, something like that. You'll see an article came out where they actually released that information a few years ago. And I, you know, it actually started because I was talking. I was at a police scene and some guy was telling me, a cop. He was like, yeah, we have a cop now. It's that lives in Idaho. I'm like, how does that happen? He explained to me exactly what they do. And they rent out an apartment here that they'll share amongst them, each other.
So it's like a commune amongst
them. Hey, listen,
them.
How much is a flight from here to Boise, Idaho?
I don't know.
Probably $99.
Yeah,
so you're taking
$120.
Yeah, you're taking it one way each week. So it's not a lot of money.
That's on the, because like, what, that's like, depending where in Idaho, but you know, like Washington's bordering that, you know, that's where Brian Koberg, that whole case is going on. So that you have that Washington college and then that Idaho, you know, they're kind of neighboring towns. But you have to take another plane to go to that airport.
But these guys are setting up. They're flying back and forth. It's worth it for them, you know. And listen, we have plenty that live in Vegas and elsewhere.
But why are they getting raises?
Because that's the contract they were given. So Karen Bass worked out a labor agreement.
You're bringing her up a lot. Well, and
for
I
a reason.
To,
for a good
so,
reason.
Karen Bass is the mayor who handled the recent L.A. wildfires poorly.
Yes.
Am I correct by saying that?
Awful. She handled it terribly.
Go ahead, dude. Continue.
No, let me explain, okay. Right? Because Karen Bass gave all our money to the police. And at the same time, she cut the fire budget by about $18 million. She cut the fire department while giving the cops more money. Because to give them raises.
But that didn't help out when running
well,
Canyon
here's
was
the
on
problem.
Fire.
Well, here's the problem. They eliminated positions like mechanics. Like 20-something mechanics positions, you know. And so I went over to the fire yard where they do the repairs. And that yard is huge.
How do you know where that is? How'd you find that out?
I saw somebody on the fire department commission meeting who I think was in the fire department. And he said, media, please go over to that fire yard and look at the rows and rows of apparatus that are out of duty right now, that are in disrepair. These are $1.5 million pieces of equipment that are sitting there broken, waiting to be repaired, but we don't have enough mechanics. But Karen Bass went and cut 21 mechanic positions. So we had like something like 21% of all of our fire trucks were out of order when this fire happened. Firefighters were showing up to their stations and they were not able to leave. They were sent away because they didn't have enough trucks to get them to the fires. Karen Bass.
And then we didn't even have water.
Well, that was her choice. It was her choice to cut the budget.
Like I heard like even the Runyon Canyon. You remember how it caught on?
I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to tell you right now. So I went up there at Runyon Canyon when it was first started on fire.
That scared me, man.
I went straight to the top. I went right outside the gates. And I'm going to tell you, it took a long time for the fire trucks to get there because there were not enough trucks that night. We did not have enough equipment. Now, you have to also understand, we don't have enough firefighters. Over the course of the last 15 years, the number of calls for service for firefighters have gone up by 55%. Going up by 55%, but we've done it with 68 less firefighters. So their workload is increasing by 50%, and we're doing it with less firefighters.
Why are they cutting the budget for
Because
the
we're giving
fire
all
department.
Our money to the cops. I'm going to tell you why. Yesterday, the LAPPL, which is the police union, came out and endorsed Karen Bass for re-election. Last election before this, they endorsed Rick Russo against her. That police union spent $3.5 million against Karen Bass. But now they're endorsing her. Why? Because she gave them the whole bag. She gave them everything they asked for in their budget. She, and on top of it, she has said, I am not going to hold the cops accountable in any way. In any way.
Well, even during the interview, she didn't really have a great response. She basically...
She had no response.
She was silent.
Okay, first off, let me ask you something. Why was she in Ghana in the first place? Why is she there?
She,
What business does the city of L.A. have in Ghana? This is the city of L.A. She has gone out of country 5 or 6 times. Why is she going out of country? Because she thinks she's still in the House of Representatives. She thinks she's in Congress where she could just gallivant around the world. Right? That's different, right? Congress is where you go and you work on bills for years and you guys, and you sit in cocktails and you party and whatever. You don't do a whole lot of work. You're mayor. You got to roll up your sleeves. People don't want to hear any like speeches. They're not looking for motivation or anything like that. They want the potholes in front of their house filled. Yeah, they want the lights working. They want the streets clean.
The homeless...
Problem. Yes, it's and yeah, a homeless problem. You want to talk about that? She has her Inside Safe program, her homeless program. We have spent $367 million on it. We have permanently housed 905 people.
Listen, the housing for it?
$367 million we spent and housed 905 people.
That's pathetic, dude. Really?
Yeah, because it's a scam. Because the money is going into her friends' pockets, and she's being sued. And on top of it, the city controller wants to audit her program. And she's saying no. In court, she said, no, he doesn't, you know, I don't have to give him authorization to do that. Okay, even if you don't have to give him authorization, why would you be against it? If your program is not being run efficiently and the problem is getting worse, don't you want somebody to come in and look at the problem and say, you know what, let's find efficiencies? But she's fighting that because she knows if we dig into those books, people will probably go to jail, including a lot of her friends.
Really?
Yeah, listen, the person who created that program, who ran LASA, the county program, she just resigned in disgrace. And the county said, we're not even paying for LASA
anymore.
What
for? Why is it the timing of it all? Are they...
No, they have no accountability. We're putting hundreds of millions of dollars into them to deal with homelessness. Mm-hmm. And we say, okay, can you show us where this money's going? And they're like, oh, we don't know. We don't know where it's going. They don't know where the money's going. It's just one big slush fund that's going out to her friends. She gave her husband a $2 million contract.
Jesus.
She gave her husband a $2 million contract.
For what, though?
But that same lady also employed Karen Bass's daughter when she ran St. Joseph's back in a couple years ago.
How do you know that?
Because I know this stuff.
Man, you're very wise as far as the way you gather your information. Like, how do you know? You know what? I just thought of something. I bet you the LAPD, I know you're on their radar, but I know they'd probably love for you to join the dark side of the force. You know what I'm saying?
What do you mean by that?
They would probably love for you, like, if you were on their side.
Okay, you want to hear something?
I mean, I'm just
you want to hear something?
Because I thought of it, you hear devil's something? Advocate wise.
No, I'll tell you something.
Yeah, go ahead.
I would say about 35% of the LAPD, they're on my side.
What?
Yeah, not the chief. There are a lot of people in LAPD that are unhappy with the LAPD, and they come to me. They give me the information.
Cops go to you directly?
Yeah, listen. Nobody knows about this. I went to the LAPD commission yesterday to talk about how two Newton cops recently got caught on video having sex during their overtime shift. They were having sex.
What?
Having sex. I found this out because of cops.
They're officers that are doing this?
Yeah, cops are having sex with other cops during their overtime shift.
So that's this is a good... We could transition into... who's Gustavo Barrientos? Gustavo? Because, I mean, you set it up.
Barrientos?
Yeah, because it says he was flirting with female officers, right? I mean, I looked it up, right? Is that true?
Yeah, I got. Yeah. Let me pull up his picture again.
Yeah, it says ex-LAPD lieutenant.
Oh yeah,
Gustavo.
He's a police chief. Yeah, no, he's a police chief over in Sierra Madre, I think.
Yes, you're right.
He's a police chief over there. Yeah. So what he was doing is he was essentially just sexually harassing women when he was watch commander.
He's a lieutenant.
Yeah.
Doing this.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's harassment, isn't it?
Yeah, you would think that.
Did he get written up for that, or?
Oh yeah, he got written up. He got suspended, and then he went and became police chief at another police department. But you want to know why? Because they didn't do a good enough background check to find out on him. But now you can. Now if you Google Gustavo Barrientos, you Google that, you know it'll probably show up. My website on Film the Police LA. You Google that right now, and the first thing that's going to show up is my website, and it's going to have the whole story about him and what he's done, and it'll include a video.
What so do you now, have on your website? Do you have, like,
videos? I put officer profiles of cops that do bad things. I make officer profiles. What happens is, listen, I have about once every couple weeks, I get an email from a defense attorney saying, hey, listen, through a pitchess motion, I was given information that you filed a complaint against this officer back in, say, 2022. Do you have any information? And I can go through my notes and say, yeah, I filed a complaint on him for this or that. And they say, okay, we're going to have to subpoena you to court to testify against this cop.
Oh my goodness.
And what happens is usually is once they find out that I will be testifying against a cop, they find a way to either drop the charges or have the case pleaded out, right?
Do you settle outside?
So, but the thing is, they don't get information. Officer profiles, under California law, their entire, like, personnel records are off limits. You are not allowed to get any information on any police officer in California unless it pertains to what they call SB 1421 cases, where it's deadly use of force, sexual misconduct, lying or dishonesty, illegal searches, or biased policing. And so now you can get information that way. So my thing is, I believe in proactive disclosure of bad cops. Mm-hmm. I want to make profiles. So now when you Google individual cops, if they have done some misconduct that I am aware of, you will find a page with all the information right there, including the internal affairs documents. I'll have the whole file from the LAPD internal affairs on there, so it's not even debatable. And Barrientos, if you go to my website, it'll have the internal affairs documents. So this is not just me saying, hey, this is what happened. Here are the documents, the LAPD documents.
But do you have a right to ask for their badge number? Because there's a video of you.
Yes.
Having an interaction an with officer a police officer. She didn't have her camera. Two, she didn't give you the badge number.
No, she worse than that. The one I'm thinking about, she gave me a fake badge number when it came back to somebody else. She was lying. She was being dishonest.
Why was she being weird? I don't know why.
You're going to have to ask her. She was on a power trip, but that's a problem. You know, these people have the right or the power to take our lives.
Oh, yeah.
And our liberty, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They at least have to identify themselves. We need to know who these people are. And if I ask for her badge number, if I ask for her to identify, she needs to, but worse, she rather than just refuse, she gave me somebody else's badge number, so she lied. She's lied. So now when...
Is that against the law to do that?
Well, here's what I will say.
As a police officer?
Here's what I will say. At some point in her career, she is going to make an arrest, and it's going to be her word versus somebody else. And a defense attorney will now be able to say to her, have you ever lied while you were on duty? And they could look back and see her lying to me.
Hey, thank God for videos, huh?
And we can show.
Isn't that a game changer?
Well, yeah, exactly.
Because opposed to the past, now you have documented
exactly
on a video.
Exactly. And so I want to make it easy with my website, mm-hmm, so that you can connect these things. Now when you go ahead and Google her name, that will pop up. It's easy for defendants and defense attorneys to find this information against these bad cops.
Now, what precautions do you take? Because you're definitely on people's radars, man.
Yeah.
How are you safe on these streets, bro? You know, like, do you have to, like, you have to always, like,
do I
see
much? I don't look anywhere.
Not so
long ago, it was like midnight, and I was on my phone on a major street here in Hollywood. And I remember you walked up to me and you bumped.
Hey, I was like, hey, but then the way you reacted it wasn't violent, but it was like, you were a little like, you had your guard up.
You're like,
yeah, I was just saying, yo, what's up, bro? And then the way you turned around, you're like, hey, man.
Yeah,
like,
are you back?
Yeah, I'm like, hey, dude.
But I was just on my phone, just texting away.
I know, but you know what?
But let me ask something. Was I paying attention to my environment? I wasn't paying attention.
No, because I caught you slipping on the block.
I don't care.
Hey, what's up, dude?
Yeah, I don't move. I couldn't care. I have no fears in the world.
So, I mean, you don't have fears of maybe like them tracking you?
Like I said, that was midnight in Hollywood, and you walked up on me. I don't do anything.
So it's different.
I catch him. I don't care. That doesn't bother me. It's goofy. What are you going to do? You think it's going to scare me? What are you going to do?
But you have been arrested in the past.
Seven times in the last 4 years. So you mentioned the UCLA one. So what happened is I got a tip that they were going to have a protest, right? So I got to UCLA campus at like 6 a.m. right before they were going to have the protest. And then all of a sudden I saw a bunch of cops go into a parking garage. So I followed behind them and I was documenting about 30 people.
You had that on Instagram.
I was live streaming the whole thing.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, they're arresting me for 148 PC.
What does that mean? Is that a code? Is that a trespassing code or something?
Resisting arrest or interfering with police investigation.
How were you doing that?
I wasn't.
You were just there.
They didn't want me filming. So they believe under 148 PCG, they have, some of these cops believe that under that statute, that they have a right to arrest anybody who is filming the police. They misunderstand what the law says. The law says, no, you have the explicit right to film the police. That's what that says, but they misunderstand it. It's like some Facebook post that's going around against among lunkhead cops, and they don't know the law.
So you,
this is a lieutenant who arrested me. He didn't know the law.
How are they in that position if they don't know the law?
Because cops don't know the law. I don't know. It happens all the time.
So what happened in that particular scenario? Did the charges get dropped?
They put me in handcuffs. They took me to Van Nuys Station. About 7 hours later, they walk in. They apologize. They said, we're letting you and two others people go. The other person arrested with me was Gina Viola. I believe she came in like third or fourth place for mayor. And then the other guy is... my guy, Cat with News, who's a reporter for recently writing for the Beverly Hills paper and written for a lot of other stuff. They purposely came at the journalists. They didn't want us recording.
Who is Kyle Mahaly?
Oh, Kyle Mahaly.
He's
Crash Out Kyle.
Okay. So give us some backstory.
I found out that the city attorney was going to making an appearance at the Palms Neighborhood Council event, right? And I have a problem with the city attorney. She does a lot of corrupt stuff, right? She targets a lot of people wrongly, and she targeted a friend of mine where she was trying to force the LAPD to arrest him.
For what reason?
Personal reasons. She was claiming that he had something to do with vandalism of the AIPAC president's house. He wasn't even there, but she was demanding the LAPD arrest him, and they were saying, well, he wasn't there, and she was demanding her own staff have him arrested, and they were saying, well, he wasn't there, but she wanted him arrested because she's corrupt. So I went there to confront her to this event, and he felt like jumping in front and stopping me from confronting this corrupt city attorney.
He was being obnoxious as well.
Well, he's a member, wasn't he
doing some childish things?
He's kind of out there. He's got some problems. Listen, he was a member talking over people. He was a member of the neighborhood council. So he was an elected official. He's an elected official. Mm-hmm. And so he was doing all that, and I told him, I said, listen, you're going to learn about me. I'm going to change your life.
That's what you told him?
Yeah.
And then what was his response to that?
Well, I'll tell you what. He's not on the neighborhood council anymore. I forced his ass to resign. He's out of there. And his life changed because he was embarrassed and humiliated. Because I showed him for who he was. First off, when I'm confronting an elected official, don't get in my way. Okay? If they are corrupt, I'm doing it for a reason. I'm doing it for your good, too. Stay out of my way. Yeah. And if you are going to get in my way, I'm going to run over you. And I ran over him, and I put him through it, and he crashed out. He's gone through a few things.
So when you get apprehended or handcuffed, like what kind of fine is that?
Every time they have arrested me, I have never, except for one time, I've never even made it to court. They end up dropping because it's always frivolous. It's always for
really?
Listen, not far from here, 5-6 blocks from here, I saw a guy throwing bottles and furniture at cars at Chick-fil-A.
Okay.
At Sunset.
Yeah.
And Highland.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a major intersection. And somebody's throwing bottles and stuff. I came over there, I intervened. I said, stop throwing that stuff at the cars. And he said, I'm homeless. And I said, I don't care if you're homeless. So he went to his tent. He got a knife and a pole. And I started cleaning stuff out of the street. He came back with his knife and a pole.
What, to assault you?
Yeah, I left.
Okay, good.
But 3 hours later, I hear sirens and stuff. I go over there. There he is again. Somebody called the cops on him because he was walking up the street with a knife and a pole threatening people.
Yeah, he had weapons.
Yeah, they was threatening a lady. A lady called the cops. The cops came, put him in handcuffs and stuff. I came around the corner. He said to the cop, that guy tried to burn my tent down. They took the handcuffs off of him and put them on me.
Why?
Because I had filed complaints against those cops in the past, even just 5 days before.
Oh, no, William.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. David Nelson.
Oh, my God.
So here's what happened. So yeah. They arrested me for making criminal threats, $50,000 bail. Shout out to People's City Council for bailing me out. I was out of there 4 hours later, right? But they ended up dropping the charges because it was ridiculous. I was doing a good deed.
You're doing the job they should have done.
Yeah, exactly.
They should have done that.
The two cops who came to the scene, I had filed 5 complaints against them in the past. They were getting their lick back. That's what they were going for. They were trying to get their little get back. So then Michael Moore, the chief of police, 2 days later had to come out there and admit that the guy who had the knife in the pole was dealing with mental illness.
Yeah.
And so anyway, they dropped the charges. But it just goes to show you, you know, how corrupt these cops are. They thought they were. At the end of the day, like I said, I never even made it to court, right? And in all of the arrests that they've come after me for, like I said, they've done 6 or 7 of them in the last 4 years.
How do you file a complaint against a... like an officer?
There's different ways. I personally
do you do it on the internet, or do you have to go to the station?
Listen, there's different ways. You can go to the station, file a complaint with the sergeant at the station. You can send a complaint in to the inspector general. You can send a complaint in to internal affairs. Me personally, I send a complaint in directly to the police chief. I say, you send me the damn receipt. That way he's responsible.
And you're documenting this.
Of course.
I document everything.
Listen, every phone call, every conversation, everything I ever do with the police is documented. Listen, they tried to have me arrested one time for eavesdropping because I recorded my phone call with the cops when they were giving me an explanation about how a cop basically abducted a woman, took her to the other side of the neighborhood, pulled her over on the Long Prairie in Highland, told her to come out of the car, right? They didn't know I was there. Then the next thing you know, told her she couldn't drive. She had no license, suspended license. Then they saw me there. They said, put her back in control of the car. I said, get back in the car. I want you to go down the street, make a right. Took her over by where Shakey's used to be. Now, think of where Shakey's used to be about 5 years ago with that neighborhood.
I missed that one.
But think of the neighborhood. Think of the street right there. There's a lot of prostitution over there, wasn't there?
There's a lot of trans.
Yeah, exactly. Do you think it was weird that a cop would force a woman over there?
That's kind of weird, dude.
Right, and so I filed a complaint
sketchy area.
It was the Long Prairie and Highland. It's well lit. Why would you move her over there?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Whew. So I'm just guessing. You're a thorn. You must be a thorn in their side. I mean, because I'm guessing if there is maybe because you're a one man army. If there was 100 people like
there's a lot of people William behind me. Good. There's a lot of people behind me, man.
Really?
Yeah, no, there's a lot of people who help me out anonymously. You know, not everybody can put their ass on the line like I can. Shout out to Who's That Cop on Twitter, if you guys or X follow.
Who's this person?
It's an anonymous person who does a lot of work. They're the best researcher in LA.
Are they like anonymous or something?
Yeah. And they work with me closely. I know who they are, but...
Are they internet savvy? They know how to do...
Man, they know how to do some shit. Man.
Really?
Yeah, no, they're fantastic. How'd
you guys link up like that?
We just ended up, you know, just... So people, they're highly efficient.
Do
so
people reach
there are a
out
lot
to
of people.
You
yeah,
and
no,
be like,
I got
hey,
a lot
William,
of help.
I like what you're doing. And
listen,
blah,
I get
blah,
a lot
blah.
Of help. Listen, you have a lot of reporters in the city. I don't think anybody has better sources than me. When stuff happens, I get the information first. I break this stuff before the LA Times does, and they
How
end up.
How is that?
Because you want to know why?
Why don't you
okay,
do
so
that
no,
on the side?
Let me
to
tell
get
you something.
Paid, dude.
No, it's not about getting paid. Let me tell you why. Let me tell you why people come to me.
Yeah.
Because you know, people will be a source and they have some information that's important to them that they want to have something done about it, and they'll come to a reporter, and a reporter will get that information, and they'll sit on it, and they won't do anything with it. They know if they come to me, they have something real. I'm going to do my best to get something done with it. Like I'm going to make something happen. So that you know, my thing to reporters is, if you worked a little harder and you made something happen when you get this information, rather than just sit on it, you will get more sources. So yeah, they come to me to get things done. And
well, like LA Times and
no, LA Times steals my like the, no, I'll report on something 3 weeks later. They'll say exclusive new report first reported by LA Times, and I reported on
it. Do they cite you, give you credit?
Rarely. Or listen, they were citing me the other week in an article about at the LAPD commission how they were dealing with racism. They had a recruiting unit at the LAPD that was saying a bunch of racist stuff. The funny thing about it is all the cops that were saying racist stuff, they were black, Latino, and Asian.
Damn, really?
Saying stuff, and it was like black guys saying stuff about black people, Latinos saying stuff. It's like, what's going on here? It tells you there's a cultural problem in the LAPD.
Well, it's diverse, isn't it?
Like, is that diversity? Listen, 20% of LAPD cops are women. Is that diverse? That's not diverse. Women are 52% of the population.
So it's only 20%?
20%. There's a cultural problem which makes it so women don't want to join.
And plus, then and you bring it up this lieutenant.
Let's talk about my other guy.
Harassing them.
What is his name? Is it Ruiz? This is a guy who, he would beat his girlfriend. He stalked her. He would caught her up here on Hollywood Boulevard, and when she was going to the bathroom, and grabbed her on the crotch. He would show up.
Oh, you know what?
I
saw you posted about that on your Instagram. Yeah, I heard.
And he's a senior lead officer. You understand? He is the liaison to the community. He's the one who comes to the schools to talk to the kids and That's the representative.
I just can't.
And he had been doing. Listen, he's done this twice. He had been suspended twice for domestic violence. And you know what the LAPD said? They said it didn't. It wasn't a pattern. Because it happened against the same woman. So it's not a pattern. So as long as you beat your wife over and over and over and over again, that's not a pattern until you do it to a second woman. What is wrong with the LAPD?
I don't know. I mean, are other police divisions in the United States?
I can't
States
speak.
Like
listen,
because this
here's
is
what
like
I will
a,
say. Here's what I will
it's
say.
It's like a movie or something.
We have low
I can't
standards.
Believe this is happening.
Listen, NYPD is certainly is corrupt. But the only thing I will say is at least they require you to have an associate's degree in college before you can become a cop. The LAPD does not require that. They require you to have a GED. I think they should at least have an associate's degree so they have a basic knowledge about the Constitution because they'll probably take, like, you know, some sort of, you know, something related to policing in college. But on top of it, you're going to be on campus with other people that are outside your community. You're going to be around diversity. You're going to get some life skills, things like that. Before you become a cop, a lot of these cops, they're fresh out of high school, sit around for a couple of years, become a cop, and they're playing video games out there.
Well, have you seen the movie Blood In, Blood Out? Remember, one of the cops was in a gang and then ends up becoming a cop. Like, does that happen in L.A.?
I don't know if that happens. Listen, I don't
know. That's just in the movies.
Yeah, listen, I think things are a little differently now. I just think that there's a cultural problem in the LAPD. Mm-hmm. And you have a lot of these young people who don't have much education, they're in their academy for 5 months. So they have to learn about all the aspects of policing. They have to learn how to drive the vehicles, how to shoot the guns, use their tasers, learn about the Constitution, learn about misdemeanors, felonies, infractions, policies and stuff. It's not enough time to understand the full, you know, to
Look,
understand
what's
law.
What's the average salary for like a rookie cop?
Right now?
Yeah.
After overtime?
Mm-hmm.
Over $100,000.
And then how much schooling do they need to?
GED.
That's it? Yeah. Really?
2040 vision.
Have you thought about entering education? Because you have a lot of knowledge. Have you thought about maybe taking a position of it in education to teach people about these laws so they know their rights?
I mean, listen,
to protect themselves?
So I can do some, like, if I did a class.
You know what I mean?
Reaching
like,
30,
I'd pay for it because you know a lot of stuff.
How many people would I reach in that class?
I don't know. I mean, how many people in a classroom? About 20?
Okay.
Yeah.
How many people are going to reach on this blog right here, this podcast?
This probably get close a couple thousand, dude.
Exactly. So that's why
close to five.
So,
hoping like if I tag you in it and you post it on your Instagram, hopefully I'm hoping it'd be at least 10K.
Okay. So we're reaching a lot more people this way, as opposed to a classroom,
you
right?
You know what? You're absolutely right. Subscribe today, youtube.com/StevieWeeby. Subscribe to my man right here. Let's shout out your website too, dude.
Yeah, like, website is filmthepolicela.com.
And then you got all the stuff.
So what I have on there is I have a list of officer profiles, but I also have, I'm going to have a video archive.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll have a lot of informational stuff on there. But on top of it, I have a third area where I have full investigations where I've done deep dive investigative articles that I'll have posted on there. So that's that. Film the Police LA is my Twitter handle, my YouTube handle.
Do you have like a PayPal or where platform where people could support what you're doing?
I think
some kind of like GoFundMe.
I have
like
a links in most of my profiles for that.
Support this guy, man. He's, you know, he's doing a lot out there on the streets.
But you don't have to because I will do it for free.
But I'm sure people out there, let's just give them the option.
I hear you.
If they want to support you.
I hear you.
Let's give them that outlet.
Okay, I hear you. But there's a point I have to prove too, because you have a lot of these groups out here who sit there and the whole thing is grifting. They raise tons and tons of money, millions of dollars. And what do you get in return? What change do you get? What do they accomplish with it? With me, I'm saying I could do it because it's important to show to other people you don't need money to to make a difference. One person can make a difference, and using a phone and documenting.
Look at Gandhi. He didn't have.
But my thing
he did it through peace.
He did it through peace, but he spread a word. Listen, you have a good message, but we have this now where we can reach thousands and thousands of people.
And they're scared of that.
They're very scared of that. It's an equalizer because they could have their budgets of millions and millions of dollars, but we could be more crafty and we could reach a lot more people. With my Scientology stuff, I probably reached like 7 million people today.
Thank you again, brother, because through you, as far as future possible guests on this platform, I got a whole bunch of other protesters on the Stevie Weeby show just because you opened that gate for me.
I think it's an important protest, a Scientology protest. Yeah, you want to know why? Because I think it's the first protest that I've ever seen where generally what happens is over the course of the time, a protest will start out and they'll do a little thing. It's like a pep rally. Mm-hmm. And then it'll get turned toxic and it'll just wither away. We shut that place down. We achieved what we set out to do. We set out to shut down their main recruiting place in the world. And we shut it down for a year. And they're barely open now. And at the same time, we've gotten the message out to the world where people are asking now. People, they don't ask questions. They don't ask, hey, what's that? They're like, oh, that's a cult.
Oh, yeah. And then South Park kind of helped with that, too.
South Park is amazing.
They roasted
it. Yes, they did.
With the Xenu stuff.
And listen, sometimes that's how you reach people. Sometimes you can't give a long, drawn-out message on how to reach people. You have to make it simple. Mm-hmm, and sometimes it requires a little humor, too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we gotta. We like to keep it light here.
Yeah.
Now, like, on a side note, are the LAPD, are they going to watch this?
Who? The LAPD?
Yeah, are they going to watch this?
Yeah, the cops are going to watch it. They're going to laugh. They're going to love it.
The cops are going to watch this episode?
Yeah, they're going to watch it and they're going to love it.
So I might be on their radar.
They're fans.
They're fans of all
the fans? They're fans of my fans. They're going to be your fans.
So, you know,
I'm telling you.
I got a small YouTube channel, everyone.
Listen. Here's what I said to LAPD.
Don't pull me
over. He's with me. You mess with him. You got a problem with me.
Hey, man. You know what I mean?
They're not going to do anything.
I live in a small apartment.
They're going to go out their way not to.
What was that? I got, you know, just leave me alone.
I don't break the law.
Really? I mean, because, you know, it's all good. Patreon.com/Stevie Weeby if you want to help support, you know, the platform. FilmThePolice.com.
FilmThePoliceLA.com.
FilmThePoliceLA.com.
FilmThePoliceLA on all my social media. Scientology Audit on YouTube. Streets LA on Instagram. On TikTok.
What's next for you, man? Like, what's the next hearing or council meeting you go to?
Next week, Karen Bass is releasing her budget on Monday.
Karen Bass.
Now, here's the thing. We have a $1 billion deficit this year.
I mean, what's she going to say about that?
She's going to give the cops an increase again. Another increase.
Man, again?
It's in their contract.
But what about the firefighters, man?
Exactly. And what about our streets? And what about our homeless problem? And what about the people? We're cutting food programs for the home, for the aging. We're cutting food programs. Listen,
Venezuelan cats.
We are cutting food programs for elderly people. We deserve to go to hell for that. We are cutting food programs for impoverished kids. To give the cops more money. When you go behind a police station, they're sitting back there. They're probably watching. They'll be watching your YouTube. They're just sitting around watching, laughing, because they're just wasting time. They don't care.
So
they're not worried about you. They're not worried.
You know, I'm just a YouTuber, man.
They don't care. I mean? They just want to get their money and go home. They're just going to waste.
And they got nice houses in Idaho. Got land. And they're just chilling.
Especially in Santa Clarita.
So they're chilling.
No, they're doing great. At the same time, complaining about how much they hate L.A., even though we are subsidizing their whole lifestyle and giving them generational wealth because they retire at 50.
They don't even have to live here.
Listen, they retire at 50. They get $100,000 some year in benefits. Come on.
So they're laughing all the way to the bank.
While complaining about us.
Oh, my God.
It's insulting, isn't it?
So what's the whole goal for you to show up to this Karen Bass meeting? Like, are you just to gather information or what's your plan? Like,
I'm going to make my point.
What was that?
She's going to release her budget in front of the entire city council.
You're going to expose that, aren't you?
I'm going to make my point.
So, because you are pretty outspoken at these places.
Oh, I'll be loud.
You're pretty loud. You can get pretty loud.
Yeah, I'll make my point.
But
the people will be with me.
With just the common folks?
The people, the average person, if they listen to what I have to say versus what they have to say, they're with me. Remember how I said she's trying to stop an audit of her homelessness program?
Mm-hmm.
That's just costing us millions and millions, and her friends are making tons of money. None of the people in city council are saying, hey, you know what? Karen Bass, you need to do something. You need to do an audit. Nobody's standing up to her. They're going along with her. All of them need to be held accountable. I'm going to hold every single council member. Every time I find them in public anywhere, I'm going to confront them. I have real questions to ask. And if they're humiliated in the process, good.
Oh, my goodness. There you go. Support this man today. Follow his social medias. Go to his website. Learn about this stuff, folks. Yeah. You know, learn about all this stuff, you know, because information is power, as they say out there. And you know a whole lot, okay? Is there anything else? Did we miss anything? There was a lot of information that packed into this podcast.
Shout out to Kenneth Mejia, the city controller.
Is he a good guy?
Man, he is a great guy.
Can we give him a shout out again?
Shout out to Kenneth Mejia, the LA city controller.
Would he ever come here to get interviewed? Or like,
I don't know. Can you hook that up or what? Maybe. You know what? I think.
Would you hook up? How about this, man? Because I trust your judgment. Yeah. Anyone you feel deemed fit,
yeah,
they're allowed on here, brother.
I think Kenneth Mejia would provide a lot of information that we need to know about right now. And I think he'd be a great guest.
Can you write that name down, Chelsea? Can you write his name down? How do you spell his last name again?
Mejia.
Kenneth?
Yeah.
Is he Hawaiian?
Filipino. First Filipino elected.
Bahala na fool.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh, and here's the thing about Kenneth Mejia. You want to know about him?
Yeah.
So here's the thing. Now I got to tell you about this guy. Karen Bass got the most votes for mayor in history.
Damn, really?
But Kenneth Mejia ran in that same election.
Oh.
He got more votes than her as controller. So he got the most votes of any candidate in LA city history ever.
Filipino cat?
He's a Filipino guy, a young guy. Oh, yeah. And he's about the people.
Yo, and
he should be running for mayor.
Dude, what's up?
That's what I'm saying.
On the podcast.
I would love to see it.
Can we make it happen or what? I mean, that would be very informative, dude.
I will do the best I can.
Just say, hey, there's a little Korean guy. Say, hey, do the Asian thing. Yeah. He's a little Korean guy. He means no harm.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then we'll get that cracking on here.
I'm telling you, I think he'd be great. He's a good, and on top of it, he's a good person. You know what he does? I was at a fundraiser one time. And his chief of staff was there. And she said, Kenneth was going to come, but he couldn't make it. You know where he was at? He was volunteering at the shelter, the animal shelter.
Dude, he's a good guy.
But you know what he wasn't doing? He wasn't out there filming it, broadcasting, saying, look at me. Nobody knows about that.
His heart.
Exactly.
That's like real, like,
that's a character of a good person. Guy. Yeah.
Pray for Vitaly. He's an IRL streamer that is. He's gonna get 10 years in Filipino prison because he's a nuisance streamer. Have you heard of Vitaly?
I'm not sure. No.
Well, dude, he did some crazy streaming out in the Philippines.
Yeah.
And they're cracking down on.
Was he a jerk?
Have you heard of Johnny Somali as well?
Oh, like him, yeah.
He's about to be stuck in Korean prison for about 10 years.
Listen, man, you know you need people need to do?
It's called IRL streamer.
They need to respect people's cultures. That's what they need to do.
They're not.
Well, then they're whatever happens.
They're throwing bottles. They're
yeah. Then you're going to get what you're going to get. Then you're going to get your butt kicked, and then whatever is going to happen to you happens to you. And you know what? I have no sympathy.
Have you heard of IRL? I mean, you know
yeah,
about
IRL.
Yeah,
I know IRL.
In real life.
I find a lot of that annoying. A lot of it. Not all of them.
Dude,
some
they're
going
to go to jail, I
Some
think.
Of them are decent, but a lot of them are just trying to manufacture drama, and they listen to their chat.
The clicks.
They listen to their chat. The chat says do this, and they do it.
Thanks for coming by. You're always welcome, man. Anytime. And then to my Filipino brother, you're always welcome. I got that poo. My dog's poo's bothering. I got to pick up his poo. So, all right, bro. Yeah. Film the police, right? FilmthepoliceLA.com.
Yeah.
Patreon.com/Stevie Weeby. I do audio diary logs. I have over 250. Please, you know, help out a little bit. All right, man. Till next time.
I'll drink my last Yakult and then I'm heading to the vault. My car is on the asphalt, it wasn't on my fault.
It's recording here. Yo, shout out my boy Kwangu.
Walking like a badger and my stature is so short. The camera tends to capture tiny ball on tennis court.